from the majestic slopes of Mount Hood to the bustling streets of the Rose City. This is PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Broadcasting live from the heart of Portland, we're the voice of the city that cherishes diversity, loves nature, and stands up for what's right. We're your number one source for in-depth analysis, thought-provoking discussions, and fresh perspectives on the issues that matter most to you. Whether it's climate change, social justice, local politics, or sustainable living, we tackle it all with an open mind and a progressive heart. We're not just a radio show. We're a community. We're a conversation. We're the pulse of Portland and the sound of progress. So grab whatever it is that gets you comfortable. Tune in, and let's get this dialogue started. This is PDX Progressive Talk Radio, and together, we can shape a better tomorrow. Good evening, Portland. You're tuned in to PDX Progressive Talk Radio, the voice of the city where change happens. I am Sherry, and this evening we have a very special guest in the studio. I want to introduce, one moment, please. Yeah, Chris Waller. Chris Waller is the chair of the Democratic Party of Clackamas County, who's been active in politics as long as she can remember. She got her start for championing animal rights issues, helping pass initiatives in California and Oregon to protect cougars and ban cruel trapping. That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, as chair of the third most populous county in Oregon, she works with Democrats up and down the ballot to get elected. Hi, Chris. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Thank you. Glad to be here this evening.
I am so happy to have you. Before we get into the interview, I need to let you guys know that PDX Progressive Talk Radio here on 90 KBOO 90.7 FM and online at www.kbu.fm is a great opportunity for you to learn what's happening here in the Portland community and actually all over the state. I'm interviewing Chris Waller here from Clackamas County. So we aren't just in PDX. We are in, you know, Clackamas. I was driving to Salem the other day and I could hear KBOO in Salem, and that's Marion County. We're in Lane County. We are all over. So I want to remind you that we are listener supported. And if you want to support PDX Progressive Talk Radio and KBOO, become a member today. Help us meet our 75,000 end of year goal. We are community funded, and your support is so needed. And you know you can do this in a number of ways. There's four ways you can help us out. You can go online to kboo.fm/give. On the mobile app, yeah, KBOO has a mobile app. You go on to the mobile app at KBOO and hit that donate button, and it will walk you through the process to donate. You can also text, hey, we are high tech. You can text KBOO to 44321. That's another way to give. And, you know, if all this tech stuff just has you over a barrel, send us a check. We accept paper right here at KBOO. Mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, that's KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Portland, Oregon, 97214. And my my patient guest over here, Chris. I'm going to get back over and talk with her. Again, thank you for being with us. My first question for Chris, now that we're going into the interview, is recently Governor Kotek took a tour around Clackamas County, and she had a number of observations, and Chris is going to help us out here a little bit. I was wondering if you could please give us some information about Governor Kotek's most recent visit and what significance that holds here for people in Clackamas County.
Sure. So as people may or may not know, Governor Kotek has been visiting every county in the state, which as far as I know is pretty much unprecedented for a governor. So Clackamas was one of her latest visits. I was not directly involved in that visit, and I think that's because I don't think she's trying to make these visits political. She wants to hear from all views of the spectrum. So she met with Republican mayors like Sean Drinkwine as well as with Democrats. And she visited several sites in the county to see various programs that are being conducted in the county. And that's my understanding of how this is going throughout the state, is that she is visiting the counties. She's seeing what works in various counties. She's talking with people in the county who are involved, who can tell her what that county needs, and that hopefully will translate to legislative action in the future.
And this is so needed.
Yes.
That action was incredible. How many times did Governor Brown come to Clackamas County?
She was here on occasion. I don't think she had a program, though, where she visited all of the counties in turn. So our senators have done that.
Yeah.
But I have not seen that so much from our governors. And it is important, especially because one of the criticisms that Democratic governors get is that they're only listening to Portland.
Right.
And we do need to make sure that the voices from the rural counties are heard, because their voices are important too.
So that would make her time as she was speaker, right? That would make her time as speaker quite valuable in her current job.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So how do you see these challenges being addressed in Clackamas County, and what role does the Democratic Party play?
Well, that's a pretty big question. So I'll start out with one of the biggest issues that we have in Clackamas County, and that is preventing us from moving forward, and that is our county commission. Clackamas County has a commission that is elected at large, so the entire county votes for the commissioners. And we currently, although in Clackamas County, the Republican Party is outnumbered by both Democratic voters and by non-affiliated voters, we currently have a county commission that is composed of three very right-wing Republicans, one moderate Republican, and one moderate Democrat. And so that is not representing the people of Clackamas County, and we're seeing that in the actions that are being taken on the county level. So while there are many programs in our county that are progressive, that are helping people, they aren't necessarily being supported by our county commissioners, and that needs to change. So three of our county commissioners will be up for election or re-election in this coming election in 2024, and we are definitely hoping to replace two of our most right-wing commissioners with people who will actually listen to and respect the wishes of people in Clackamas County.
So I know one of them is Mark Scholl. He is up for re-election.
That is correct.
And the other one would be?
That would be Tootie Smith.
Oh, yes.
Who is our current chair of the commission. And she has been noted for everything from flagrantly violating lockdown mandates to opposing shelter for the homeless to you name it. If it's a right-wing talking point, she's been a shill for it.
She went on Fox News when COVID first happened.
Yes,
she completely and totally sided with the Trump administration.
Yes, she did.
And she was a complete embarrassment.
And unfortunately, that's what Clackamas County gets known for, is for having the county commissioner who went on TV to claim she was going to have her big Thanksgiving party and no one was going to stop her.
That's what it was.
And right. We've seen that kind of thing reflected at the county level. And it's created, not only has it impeded the progress of any meaningful work from the county, it's also created a very, very poor work environment at the county.
Yeah, I don't even know. I live in Clackamas County, so a lot of these issues are very close to my heart. I haven't seen any candidates for Tootie's chair. I do know of a few for Mark's.
Yes.
And I hope to be able to interview a few of them. But I've already interviewed Ray Gordon. And she's fabulous. She's going to be our commish singer if she wins. Anyway, but for Tootie, I don't know. Do you know who's up for
Currently, the person who is running against Tootie is our former county sheriff, Craig Roberts. He is a Democrat. And he has quite a few years of experience with working at the county. So we don't know at this point. One of the unusual things about our races is that the period for filing is open for so long. It started back in September and it goes up until March. So somebody, and this happens all the time, people can file at the very last minute. Now that doesn't do them much good heading into the primary. So we think that most of the candidates who have filed at this point, or who are going to run, have filed at this point. So for Mark Scholl's race, just to mention, there are three other candidates that have filed. You mentioned Ray Gordon. And then we also have Melissa Fireside, who is a candidate who has a world of experience with running campaigns. She's a small business owner, and she has a track record that is pretty good of progressive causes.
She's wonderful. I've done some research. In fact, in Lake Oswego, or it was either Lake Oswego or Westland, I was doing some promotions across my channels for her.
Yes. And then the third candidate who has filed is Tina Irvine, who is a Republican. And just to mention, for anybody who doesn't know who Mark Scholl is and how important it is for us to get him off the commission, this is our commissioner who, again, you probably read about him in the news, almost 2 years ago when we found out, I actually was the person who discovered this, that he had been posting on Facebook incredibly offensive posts that were homophobic, xenophobic, anti-Muslim. He has been an outspoken opponent of vaccination and of mask mandates. He has also opposed any move at the county toward any type of services such as Housing First. He definitely is an opponent of any harm reduction programs. So he is just, he has to go. He is our number one. Well, Tootie has to as well. But that is our number one task for the 2024 elections, because it's what we can affect locally, is that both Scholl and Tootie need to go.
They do. They seriously do. So that leads us to the next question, which is, can you elaborate on the importance of projects such as the Wade Creek Restoration Site for Clackamas County and how they align with Democratic values?
Sure. So the Wade Creek project was a project out in Estacada where they did some streamside restoration, and they also made that a community project. So a project that would help out the community as well. And that's something that we really need in Clackamas County. One of the reasons I think that so many of us live here is because of the proximity to nature. I know that that's the thing that I appreciate most about living in Clackamas County, is that I can, in 5 minutes, be out in the forest. And that is very, very important to me. And so any types of projects where we can enhance the ability of our residents to be able to come in contact with nature and to experience nature and to preserve what we need to remain Clackamas County are important. I know in my neighborhood where I live, one of the projects that did that was the Boardman Wetlands Project, which took a very degraded wetland and added boardwalks and the ability for the community to come in and see what happens in a wetland. And it has been very successful at doing that, at getting people in the neighborhood who before would have gone just, oh, that's the stinky place where the mosquitoes live, right, can now come out and they can walk on the boardwalk and they can experience that wetland. And at the same time, it's another area where unfortunately our current county commission has fallen short on protecting those valuable natural resources. So it's yet another reason we need to change commissions.
And so it's out towards Estacada. Can you give us an idea of where?
Wade Creek Project's in Estacada. The Boardman Wetlands is actually in my neighborhood, which is Jennings Lodge.
Oh, okay.
So it's right it's right off of Jennings and McLaughlin.
Okay, I'll have to look at that.
Yeah. It's one of those things, if you don't live in the neighborhood, you may not ever notice it's there. The thing it would probably be most famous for if you did live in the neighborhood was, for many years, if you drove down Jennings in the winter, you'd drive through this lake of the water that was coming off this wetland. But now that it's been improved, we don't have that problem anymore.
I still can't vision. I went to Putnam.
Uh-huh.
And so I was up around in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I'll have to go look at that. That's interesting.
It's very worthwhile looking out for. It's a great little walk.
Is it behind the art box?
No, it's actually next to, if you know where the East Side Gym is, off of Boardman Avenue.
Okay.
It's just a few houses down from that.
Okay.
On Arista.
Super interesting. I have to take a break here just for a moment and let you know that you're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio on KBOO.FM and online at www.kboo.fm. And while you're listening, did you know that we are volunteer-powered community radio, and we can't meet our mission without your help? We need you in our community. We're in the midst of our winter membership drive. Become a member of KBOO. Show your support for PDX Progressive Talk Radio and for KBOO by donating to and becoming a member. And or becoming a member. You don't necessarily have to be a member to donate. You can help us meet our $75,000 end of year campaign. We are community funded again. You can do that four ways: online at KBOO.FM/give, on the mobile app, click that donate button. It's bright red, if I'm correct. And then you can text us KBOO to 44321. And you know what? We take paper. We love paper. So send us a check, KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We are a little bit early, so I have bonus questions. Do you mind?
Not at all. I don't know if we got to question number 3 yet, though.
We did. We passed right. Woo. Yeah, that was how do you see the challenges addressed in Clackamas County, and what role do we play? And you gave wonderful answers mostly about getting Scholl and Tootie Smith out of office. That will help us tremendously.
Yes, it will.
So one bonus question is, what are some innovative approaches being undertaken in Clackamas County that you find particularly promising?
So I mentioned earlier the Boardman Wetlands and programs like that. I think that one of the areas where, again, a change in commissioners is really going to affect it is our partnership with Metro. Because the environmental issues are very near and dear to me. And we're at a point where we've had some great partnerships with Metro. For example, Newell Creek Canyon in Oregon City was a park that was recently opened that previously was an area that people just didn't go to. They didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
And now there's a beautiful park there with a trail down to a gorgeous waterfall.
Nice.
And so programs like that with Metro really benefit us. But our county commission is currently at odds with Metro. And in fact, they would, if they had their druthers, they would pull us out of Metro. So one of the things that I think we need to do to keep innovating is to establish a better relationship with Metro, because they're so important and they're a funder of so many projects that are so important to us. Some other things that we have seen in Clackamas County have been some of the programs such as Love One that are working with people experiencing homelessness. Yes. And we're seeing a move toward coordinating some of those resources. We're working on a center that so far even the commissioners support, but we'll see if they change their minds like they did with Project Turnkey in Oregon City, that will be basically a navigation type center where people can get in contact with all sorts of services.
Wow.
I've also seen with Clackamas Women's Services over the past few years with the programs that they've been able to establish, such as their shelter, that those are programs that I think are very much helping the people of Clackamas County. So we do have a lot of good work going out there. We just need to ensure that that work is being supported and recognized at the county level.
Having interviewed the impromptu director, executive director of Love One a few years back, I'm actually friends with her on Facebook. You guys, go support Love One. I mean it. They started out doing laundry for our unhoused neighbors. They taught me so much in the short time I was involved with them. They always need volunteers. They always need funds. I believe it's loveone.org, if I'm correct. You can Google Love One Laundry. And we had one in Malala, and I'm not sure what happened to it. I can find out. But Love One Laundry, and please support them.
Yeah, they're a great organization.
So a Safe Place Family Justice Center in Oregon City was another stop of the governor's. Could you discuss the county's approach to supporting individuals and families experiencing domestic and sexual violence, especially in terms of housing and culturally specific services?
Well, so a Safe Place, as I understand it, is an organization that is working with a wide spectrum of providers. And so they're networking with those providers to provide services to people who are experiencing abuse or who need to get out of domestic violence situations. So I know, for example, that Clackamas Women's Services is one of the big partners with them. And they have, as I mentioned earlier, they opened a few years back a beautiful shelter. I have toured it and it is truly amazing. It is a place that just exudes calm and safety.
Nice.
And so that is a wonderful program that we have in Clackamas County. And I am not sure, I do not have the statistics on the county itself and its partnership with the organization in terms of funding, et cetera. So that would be something I would need to look into to see, is the county giving the support that they should? One of the issues we've had with the county in recent years is there's been severe budget cuts in many areas, and that has impacted a lot of beneficial programs. And it's another thing that we're hoping we can turn around with better management at the county.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And these services are so needed.
Yes.
Especially, we found out during the time of COVID that domestic violence increased a significant percent. I think it was like 30% or so here in the area.
Yes.
So these types of organizations are needed and needed to be supported.
And especially because they do such valuable work, but because there isn't enough support and there isn't enough money and hours in the day, they have to offer their services on a fairly limited basis. So, for example, a Safe Place is not open on the weekends.
Wow.
As I understand it, they're only open during the week in fairly limited hours. And I also believe they don't have a drop-in program.
Oh, wow.
So we need more support in order to be able to make sure that somebody who makes the decision to leave can do it safely at that moment.
So what kind of programs do we need to make sure that places like a Safe Place Family Justice Center can stay open longer and serve more people?
Well, as I said, one of the things is I don't know what budget priorities are at the county. And so part of it would be looking at that and seeing, are we putting our funds in the county in the right place? We've had so many cutbacks that are related to the fact that the commissioners made a decision to pay a lot of money in a very kind of a shady scheme to build a new courthouse, a public-private partnership, as they called it.
Yeah.
But it's costing us a huge amount of money and a huge amount of cuts in our budgets because of that.
Oh, my goodness. I knew the new courthouse was being created. I just didn't realize that it was a public-private partnership.
Yeah, yeah. And not necessarily the most inexpensive way to build a courthouse, unfortunately.
Apparently not. So we are going to take a break real quick. I have a cool song for New Year's. I want everybody to have a fabulous New Year's day or New Year's celebration. Be safe out there. So I'm going to go ahead and play a few minutes of this, and then I'm going to open up the phones. So if you want to call and talk with us with your questions, Chris is going to hang out here for the next, 30 minutes or so. And she's agreed to answer questions, and I'll answer questions if you have questions for me, and I'll give you the phone number here in a minute.
It's all right.
Thank you for joining us tonight at PDX Progressive Talk Radio in Portland. I'm Sherry, and by the way, I needed to remind people, not the funding thing again, although we do need your help, but Moses Ross is actually the host of the show. And Moses is going to be out for a while because he is running for Portland City Council District 4. And I'm taking over the show for right now. So I try to make sure I honor Moses and his belief of how the show should be run. So I'm usually pretty nervous about that. But anyways, so I am so happy to have Chris Waller with me. Chris is the chair of the Democratic Party of Clackamas County. And she has honored me with some of her time this evening, and I could not be more appreciative. And I have another question for you, by the way. Before I open up the lines, I have one more question for Chris.
Sure.
I'd like to take a moment to discuss the Rivers Homeowners Cooperative in Gladstone.
Yeah, I had to look that one up. So the Two Rivers Cooperative in Gladstone was a project where there's a mobile home park. It's near Meldrum Bar Park, for anybody who knows Gladstone. And it was threatened with being sold off. And that meant that about, I think, 120 units in the park, so who knows, 200 or so people, could have lost their homes. And the homeowners were assisted by a couple of organizations in actually purchasing the mobile home park and running it themselves.
Oh my goodness.
It's a self-governed organization at this point, and they haven't raised their rents, so people have been able to stay in the community where they have lived. My understanding is they have a lot of good services there. They have a community center, they have a lot of meetings, and they have a lot of activities, and the people who live there say it's a very nice place to live.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a kind of program that's, I've seen this happen a lot in the county, and I'm sure it's happening throughout the nation, where places like mobile home parks that are providing valuable housing for people are getting sold off and converted into housing that those people can't afford.
Yep, that's exactly what's happening. So this ultimately ended up being something that was fabulous.
Yes, yes.
Fabulous. Okay, so hey, Portland community, Clackamas, wherever you're listening to us from, give us a call. If you have questions for me or for Chris, you can reach us at 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187, and we'll be here to answer your questions. So you can give us a call anytime. I don't have the messenger set up on the website, so unfortunately we can't do that. However, we do have a Facebook. We do have a Facebook page, so you can go to Facebook PDX Progressive Talk Radio on Facebook, and you can find us there. And I will log into my Facebook, and you can send me messages. So, Chris, is there any issue in Clackamas County that you would like to offer some insight in as something we should know?
Well, I think I've mentioned the biggest one, which is the fact that we need to elect new county commissioners. And that is something that anybody who lives inside or outside of Clackamas County can help with. So if you're not a Clackamas County resident, our candidates could certainly use support. And also, if you are a Clackamas County resident, one of the things I would urge you to think about doing, if you really care about getting these people elected, is to become a neighborhood leader. And that's a program that we run, that's run by actually Democratic offices across the state. And what we do is we will train you to go and talk to your neighbors and give them information about elections. And these are only your Democratic neighbors, and these are people in the houses just around where you live. And what we have found with this program is it boosts voting to an extraordinary degree. People are far, far more likely to vote if they're contacted by a neighborhood leader than if they are not. And if that's a program, if that is something that you're interested in, or if you're interested in doing any kind of volunteer work with the Democratic Party of Clackamas County, you can reach us through our website, clackamasdems.org. We also have an active Facebook page, so you can ping us on Facebook as well. But if you visit clackamasdems.org, we have a form that you can fill out if you are interested in volunteering. We also have more information on the Neighborhood Leader Program, but we can definitely use more neighborhood leaders, because again, that's the best way we've got of reaching out and actually getting people to vote.
That is fabulous. And you know what? I'm going to be a neighborhood leader later on in the election section, election work, because we are trying to get campaign finance reform on the ballot in November. Mm-hmm. So if you know anyone who's interested in helping to volunteer with Honest Elections and getting campaign finance reform on the ballot, go ahead and go to honest-elections.com and check out the opportunities under volunteer. So those are our go-tos for tonight. Do you know we have a little bit of a homeless issue in Malala? Mm-hmm. And the Ford Foundation apparently was helping with that to some extent. Do you know of any resources that might be coming out to Malala?
I don't particularly. I have not heard anything in particular lately.
Okay, so what I wanted to do was, originally the bowling alley was, the Malala bowling alley was closed, mm-hmm. For a litany of different reasons. And I wanted to use the bowling alley to train people how to, or help them get their IDs, because a lot of the homeless people have lost their IDs, their birth certificates, and things like, many of the Portland homeless people experience these issues. And we have joined PDX and some other people who are helping them resolve this. Well, I wanted to bring a program like that out to Malala, and they're making the police station out of the, tore down the bowling alley and now they're building a new police station. They won that by 9 votes.
Wow.
After a recount. Wow. Originally, it went down. Mostly. And I didn't vote neither here nor there for it. Mm-hmm. I have issues with the way they did the promotions of it. Anyways, they were trying to sit there and say that without the new police department, that we weren't protecting Malala. Literally, their slogan was, protect Malala, we need a new police department. Well, and I was like, do you know what that sounds like?
And there's also the issue that I find that so many people on the right wing are motivated primarily by fear.
Yes.
And so that unfortunately does win elections. Is, we saw that again with our commissioner elections. In this case, it was the fear of Portland creep was something that was used over and over again.
I heard that.
Mm-hmm. When Tudy first got elected.
Yep.
That was their slogan.
And so I always ask, well, what's wrong with Portland? You know, because I, having hung out there when I was a teenager, and I'm there all the time, you know, that was my playground, basically. I see Portland differently.
Yeah. And we saw that one of the areas that I think in my personal neighborhood that has really harmed us was the Orange Line. So we had some tremendous opposition to the Orange Line when that was first built out to Milwaukee, because it was going to bring in all the crime from Portland. Well,
that's what
that didn't happen.
Malala.
Yeah, didn't happen. And now we had an issue where I live right off of McLaughlin Boulevard. And if anybody visits McLaughlin Boulevard, what they probably think of is car lots, endless strips of car lots.
Yes, that's horrible. And it wasn't always that way.
We have a situation in the Malala area where the McLaughlin area, where we had a group, the McLaughlin area team, that was creating a blueprint for some zoning changes that could be made to make McLaughlin a more livable area for people, to attract people there, to have some high density housing near the trolley station, to bring in small businesses, to have it be something other than the wasteland desert of car lots it is now.
Right.
So that, again, that was worked on by the Map It team for years. At least 5 or 6 years, and then they brought it to the county. And at the same time, a couple of car dealers showed up at the county, and they said, wah, 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 if you guys pass this, we won't be able to build more car lots. And that's
the point. That's kind of the point, right.
And so the county threw it out. All those years of work.
Right.
And that's, an example of the dysfunction at the county, because what we could have had was have in that area where right now there's just a couple of businesses and single family housing, we could have had something that could have provided a lot of housing to people, a lot of opportunities for work in small businesses.
Yep.
But again, it was not just the car dealership, it's also the fear of the Orange Line that motivates people. And I don't know why they think improving the area around the Orange Line is a bad thing.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's what we wound up with.
Well, see, and that's a debate I've had with many people in Malala, is like, we don't want TriMet out here. We don't want the train out here. Why? Well, it brings drugs and crime and stuff. And I said, no, it doesn't. It opens up opportunity for people to commute to Portland or Clackamas or Oregon City or Salem and not have to pay, you know, a third of their income in gas and mm-hmm. car maintenance mm-hmm. and vehicles and things that they shouldn't have to pay for, because it also helps the environment, because we're using electricity instead of carbon. Do you know that DEQ does not mandate people in Malala get their cars checked for carbon?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, we are exempt.
Wow.
Out there. And you can tell it's gross. It really is. I have to drive behind some of these trucks that are just nasty, and it gives me a migraine, and I've told them that too. But anyway, so they are all stuck on this, oh, it'll bring drugs and everything, but it will bring opportunity. So you want to hinder the opportunity of an entire community because of your fear.
Right, right.
Of something that may, do you, I don't know if they know the 80-20 rule. 80% of the things that you're afraid of, only 20% of those are going to, there's like a 20% chance that any of those are going to happen.
Right, right. But again, we see that motivating so much of our current politics. And that is a scary situation. That, of course, is why we lost Project Turnkey. And for people who don't know, that is a program where the state was providing funding for counties to buy buildings and convert them into
yes.
shelters.
Thank
and
you, Tootie.
We had an opportunity. We had a hotel that was in a great area near public transport,
yep.
not near housing, not really near businesses. And Tootie Smith was at first in favor of this, but she was pressured by our county Republican Party. And at the last moment, the day before the papers were to be signed, she turned around and she took back her vote for the project. Our two other right-wing commissioners had already voted against it. And so Tootie was the deciding vote. And because she stepped out of that, not only did we lose that opportunity to shelter over 100 people, we also lost over $150,000 that had been spent on feasibility studies, and we had to give all that money back to the state.
Yeah.
So it not only cost us the opportunity for some people to have a better life, it cost us money on the county level.
Yeah, because taxpayer money.
Uh-huh. Because of fear. And again, because of so many different kinds of fear. Tootie's fear of what the Republican Party would do to her, their members' fears of having to house people in our community who need housing.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome. We are, you can reach us at 503-231-8187. The phone does work, so again, that number is 503-231-8187. And do you know, I was by that building the other day. Mm-hmm. I drive Lyft part-time, mm-hmm. and I was just by that building the other day. It's empty.
Yep.
That building sits empty.
Yes.
When it was a great resource, and I believe it was 150 people that they were going to be able to
and
help.
And the thing is, I didn't know it was empty now, but it had already been being used previously for shelter. So the only thing that was really going to change was the fact that the state was going to come in and help fund it. And we had that in our neighborhood as well. There was another hotel that had been under consideration for Project Turnkey. But again, people motivated by fear contacted the county and said, no, we don't want this. We don't want this. Even though, again, this particular hotel was already hosting people.
So I have a question for you. We complained that we are missing out on significant levels of opportunity for the people in our county because of fear and people's embrace of being fearful of things they have really zero understanding of. How do we change that? How do we turn the tide? What can we do?
I wish I had all the answers to that question because it would make a huge difference. I think, honestly, for a large part of it, it is giving people experiences with the things that they think they fear in a context where the fear is not generated. So letting people, volunteering certainly helps with that. Because if you volunteer in a program and you get to know the people who are part of that program, then you're not afraid of them anymore. You see them, you recognize that they're fellow human beings, and that reduces the fear. And so that's something that a lot of people have gotten very insulated. And they're not reaching out into their community. They're not experiencing other people. And so the more opportunities that we can have to just bring people together in a non-threatening context and let them experience other people, I think the better we can do. But it's not an easy problem. I mean, there's a lot of studies that show that this is a deep psychological trait, that some people are just born fearful, and those people are more likely to become right-wing activists than people who are not.
Well, and the interesting thing about that is when they start barking about, this will happen and this will happen if, okay, so say we let Clackamas County or a private organization bring in community services for homeless people in Molalla, all of a sudden we're going to get a whole population of homeless people.
Right. Because
That's what they're afraid of.
It's not recognizing the fact that these people are already in our communities,
yes,
but they're in hiding, or we just don't see them.
They end up homeless themselves and go, oh, gee, why are there no services? Right?
Yeah.
It's somebody, Mrs. Reagan was a huge example of this. She was always the war on drugs, be against drugs and all this stuff. And then something happened in her life and she ended up opening her foundation to help people with drug abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because all of a sudden something happened in her life, so now it's a huge concern instead of just blowing it off into the wind.
Yeah, making it personal. Right. Kind of getting back to what I said earlier. It's easier for people to connect with things when it is personal. But then there's always, getting back to what you said earlier, there's the fact that we have so many people in our community who are living on the edge, who are just a paycheck away or a car breakdown away from winding up on the streets.
Right.
And I'm sure you've seen this. I'm a regular reader of our Milwaukee Chit Chat and Oregon City Chit Chat groups on Facebook. And I constantly see the people who are coming on about, I don't get paid for 3 days and I don't have food, or my car broke down, or I have a medical bill. And just to think that in this society, that's how people are having to get help is reaching out through Facebook. And we need to do a better job of providing for everybody.
I'm going to say that has a lot to do with employers not paying a livable wage. And
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. We've gotten a lot better in Oregon about that. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. You all right? I could. Okay.
I was actually cutting out furry fabric earlier, and I tend to get it on my clothes, and then I breathe it in. It makes me cough.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, I hope you're okay.
I am fine.
But yeah, we've gotten better about paying a living wage in the Portland area. Thank goodness. Clackamas, sort of. What is the... Has Clackamas followed suit with Portland in regard to that?
It's, a lot of that is state regulation, so it's controlled by the state rather than by the counties themselves.
Yeah.
And we still have the issue, though, that as while wages are going up, the cost for housing is going up a lot faster.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what the last stat was, but we are definitely not. It was said that for us to keep up with the housing costs here in the metro area, we'd have to be making between $26 and $29 an hour as minimum wage. So even somebody like, and this just killed me, 10 years ago $25 an hour was a good wage,
right?
That you could have your own place, you could take care of the things that you needed, you could even help your kids if you needed to, you could buy a house by yourself at $25 an hour, though you had to have really good credit. Today, that's, you're barely getting by, and I just don't understand why employers are fighting this so much, you know, because they're making it. Did you know 70% of people on SNAP are employed full-time?
Of course.
And most of those people, this is across the nation, most of those people work for Walmart or McDonald's or Amazon or even Columbia Sportswear was in that list of places where people work full-time. And back in 2013, I was living in Silverdale and I was a federal civilian contractor on Bangor, and I would go to, you know, to the local convenience store and they'd say military EBT is welcome. Why does the military qualify for SNAP?
Yeah, it is such a difficult situation that we have, because not only do we have people not earning enough, we also don't have at this point enough of the housing that these people need, and there is such resistance. You know, we did change our laws to hopefully allow us to build more of the missing middle housing as well as housing for lower income individuals in the state. And the big discussion going forward is going to be how we do that, because we have the developers, unfortunately, who are pressing, you know, rubbing their hands together and going, this is our chance to get rid of the urban growth boundary and build, build, build on all our farmland and forests. We need to be concentrating this on, we need to be putting that housing where the jobs are. We need to be building a lot more higher density housing in our urban areas so that people don't have to have an hour-long commute to their work.
Exactly.
And it's not going to do us any good to be building McMansions out in the country. That is not going to solve our housing shortages. We don't need to change the UGB. If anything, we need to strengthen it,
right,
and protect the land we have left. At the same time, we need to be looking at what are the barriers to building housing. Because I mentioned earlier the problem that we had with the McLaughlin area project and building that housing near the Orange Line, where the county could just say, we don't wanna, and that stopped it in its tracks. And it shouldn't have. We should be able to have high density housing around our MAX stations. We should be able to have places for people to work in those areas. It shouldn't be a desert of car lots.
No, it shouldn't. That's ridiculous. And the Mazda car lot just went up, by the way.
Yeah,
right next door to Toyota.
I've lost track. My husband and I sometimes try to count how many car lots there are on that stretch of McLaughlin, and we always lose track because there are just so many.
There's one popping up all the time, and you've got one, I think it's the Kia one, where it, like, the cars are coming halfway off the hill. It's a little precarious, if you ask me, and then they have some of the more less attractive types, right?
Yeah.
So, Chris,
some of them are not very good neighbors.
Thank you so much for being my my guest tonight and helping me through the show. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to play a special New Year's song. This one I've loved since I was a little kid. So I hope you all will amuse me here. It's a beautiful song. It's, of course, Dan Fogelberg. You have to have Dan Fogelberg on New Year's. So have a great night, everybody. Thank you for listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Remember to go to kboo.fm/give to help us meet our $75,000 goal. You can donate on the app. You can, let me find it. You can text KBOO to 44321, and you can send a check, KBOO, at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Our zip code is 97214, and we are in Oregon. And I want you all to have a great New Year's, and I will see you next month. Hit me up on Facebook and let me know who my next month guest should be. Have a great night.
Shadow stretch and land on either side, either side. And balanced on the precipice, the moment must reveal. Naked in the face of time, our race within the wheel. As we hang beneath the heavens and we hover over hell, our hearts become the instruments we learn to play so well. So wealthy the spirit that blows its own fight, stealthy the hunter who slays his own pride, blessed the traveler who journeys the length of the night. Of gravity beyond the spectral veil, within our careful reasoning we search to no avail. For the constant in the chaos, for the fulcrum in the void, following a destiny our steps cannot avoid. Across the vein of night there cuts a path to see night, burning like a beacon on the edges.
My name is Mike. I work at KBOO as the data coordinator. I'm the host of a radio show called Pandemonium, and I am a KBOO listener. I love listening to KBOO because it doesn't sound like anything else. I wish I could take credit for that. I'd love to say the reason KBOO sounds so interesting and different is because we have the best DJs, the best